Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'll share with you a response to seven questions that we were sent by a student at Baylor University. That's in Waco, Texas. The student is majoring in international studies pre-law. And Baylor, you may recognize the name. It's the world's largest Southern Baptist University. How many students at Baylor? Something like 17,000 students or so. And they are, of course, as everyone in the world, is caught up in the cultural battle against God. And so Christian universities, Christian denominations, all types of Christian ministries today deal with the issue of sexual immorality. And many of them feel like it's a very difficult situation. Now, in a moment, I'm going to share with you these seven questions. They were actually sent to Colorado Right to Life. And as a spokesperson, I was asked, you know, who could get to these first, the students on a deadline. And so I responded just minutes before showtime, I sent this off. So I want to get to those. And also, Bill Clinton has denied ever going to Jeffrey Epstein's island in the Bahamas. So I want to get to that. And there's a new victim that's come forward. She was a freshman in high school when she was recruited by Jeffrey Epstein. So that was at her high school, New York City High School. He lived 10 blocks away. Okay, so Christian universities or other ministries that say they're struggling because the culture is so adamant in its insistence that you affirm homosexuality, which is a perversion. Jesus said that God made us male and female, and therein lies the reason for the obsession with homosexuality and every variation of that perversion. Because if homosexuals are right, then Jesus was wrong. And so it's a way for the culture to inoculate, to vaccinate children against the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it actually wouldn't be difficult for a Christian university if they were to say that our loyalty and our allegiance is to God. And we will not be pressured. We simply will not be pressured. Oh, but you could be sued. The school could be sued. I mean, homosexuals, they could actually take the property. Yeah, and how is that relevant? How is that relevant to staying true to the Lord? Well, we have to be good stewards of these buildings. Do you realize how much money, how much capital is tied up in this school? Yeah, so? So what? Christians for 2,000 years have been willing to give their lives to not compromise on the gospel, not compromise on the authority of Jesus Christ. So as soon as our allegiance is to this institution, this worldly monument to our efforts that must prevail, it must succeed, it must remain at all cost. As soon as we make that shift in our minds, our loyalty shifts, then the enemy has won, and it's only a matter of time. That's one of the reasons why Jesus said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. So Baylor, they're fighting, you know, they're trying to stay true to marriage, and they refer to it often as the Southern Baptist traditional moral teaching. And even that is weak, right? Who cares if it's the Southern Baptist traditional moral teaching? It's Jesus Christ, his authority, in his word, and that he made us male and female. He should know he's the creator. And his word condemns homosexuality both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In fact, we have quite an article at kgov.com/homosexuality. And right at the top, there's a link to what the Bible says about homosexuality, Old and New Testament verses. You click on that, you go right to it. Very powerful. Very powerful, and it exposes the lie of the homosexuals and those in rebellion against God who try to twist the scriptures to their own destruction. So just, a couple years ago, Baylor University, they dropped from their school policy, official school policy, they dropped. Now, they said they did this without changing the policy. They only changed the words. And so there's something to that, but you could see that they have been intimidated. They dropped the prohibition of homosexual acts. That's no longer in their policy. And they replaced it. They dropped prohibition against adultery, fornication, incest. Now, they would have never dropped the prohibitions against adultery and incest if it weren't for the fact that homosexuality was included in the same sentence. So out of their timidity, they removed that whole sentence and they replaced it with an affirmation that sexual intimacy is only to be expressed in the context of marital fidelity. So that's how they got around that. But of course, in America, homosexuals are presenting themselves as married, and something called the U.S. Supreme Court issued something that was an opinion saying that homosexuals could be married, which of course is an absurdity. Their marriages will not be recognized by God in heaven. They're a fiction. They're a perversion. It's part of the long war against God. So at any rate, Baylor is trying. They're trying, but they're on that slow slide toward failing. And sure enough, on their campus and among their alumni, 3,200 people have signed an open letter, including faculty, students, current student body members, alumni, calling for the university to recognize homosexual groups on campus. So 3,200. And if I were the president of the university, I would expel every student who signed the letter and fire every faculty or staff who signed the letter. So that would be the appropriate thing to do, because those folks are undermining the authority of Jesus Christ, and they're working toward the destruction of the individual who God calls on us to love. And he tells us to not be afraid, and that perfect love casts out fear. And at the very end of the Bible, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? The last book in the Bible, Revelation. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. At the very end, we see the list of those who are in hell. And the first description of those who are in hell is cowards. It's cowards. So NBC News has done an interview with a woman who's now an adult, very credible accuser, in the extreme, with the details of Jeffrey Epstein's home, his seven-floor townhouse in Manhattan that she described. Obviously, she spent a lot of time there. She says she spent a year there giving him massages that became increasingly sexual until she says he finally raped her. He gave her thousands of dollars along the way, $300 cash every time she showed up, once a week or so. And then she suddenly stopped going when he forcibly raped her, she alleges. And it all comes across as completely credible. And she describes the recruiter, this woman who would meet her at her school and gradually groom her to be ready for Jeffrey Epstein. So that's just the newest victim that has come forward, and very possibly many more will, and many co-conspirators, other criminals that could be indicted along with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Bill Clinton, on Monday, Doug and I talked about what would Bill Clinton be doing on Jeffrey Epstein's private jet, the Lolita Express, and going to his private island in the Bahamas, if not for sexual immorality. Would they be playing Parcheesi, Mahjong, shuffleboard? What? And Bill Clinton has since come out with a statement that he has never gone to Jeffrey Epstein's island. And that even though he is so despicable, even though he's guilty of sexual assault, even though he is a creep, that denial in and of itself needs to be taken seriously. And we may have to retract that. That was widely reported some years ago, and it's known that he's been on Epstein's plane, his private plane, 26 times. Based on the manifest that is always filed for flights out of various airports like Teterboro Airport in New Jersey, where Jeffrey Epstein was arrested this time around, flying back from Paris in his own jet, he lands and he gets arrested and charged with sex trafficking of minors, and many of them. So Clinton, when he says he never went to the island, he does have a Secret Service detail, and there would be pilots and others, and that'd be quite a whopper of a lie for him to think he could get away with. So we'll have to retract that and wait for more specific information to come forward. Okay, so the letter from a student at Baylor, he introduces himself. Dear Colorado Right to Life, hello, my name is HS. I'm currently a student at Baylor University majoring in international studies pre-law, and I'm taking a summer online class. I have to write an essay on the pro-life issue, and I need to do an interview. It can be done by email. Thank you for considering this. So Donna Ballantyne, the office manager for Colorado Right to Life, put this out to the board and different spokespeople and said, could anybody get to this? And so I responded just before airtime, and I'd like to share this with you. Hello, HS. Please see our responses below. Because you're pre-law, I'll suggest a 2017 paper published in the Harvard Journal of Law and Public Policy, titled Protecting Prenatal Persons, Does the 14th Amendment Prohibit Abortion? The author of the paper, a recent Harvard law grad, former journal editor, and already successful, and I described to HS the author of the paper, recent Harvard law grad, former journal editor, already successful young guy. And by the way, for those of you who have long listened to Bob and Yurt Live, you'll recognize his name, Josh Craddock. Josh Craddock, the author of that Harvard Law School Journal article, Protecting Prenatal Persons. Awesome. Okay, so HS, first question, seven brief questions. What is the purpose of the Colorado Right to Life? So, answer, to work toward the protection of every innocent person, born and unborn, by love and by law. Second question, what is your opinion on separation of church and state? Do you think religion has a place in government? So that's a dodge, right? That's what that question is. It's a dodge. So, I respond to HS. This question on church and state is a typical dodge by people who want to distract from the humanity of the unborn child. When Jews were being gassed and blacks lynched, the killers could argue, thou shalt not murder, as one of the Ten Commandments is a religion, and there must be separation of church and state. HS, please don't be deceived by those who would want to distract you from the only relevant questions. First, is the unborn child an innocent living human being? And second, is it ever justified to intentionally kill an innocent human being? All right. So third question from HS at Baylor University. In your opinion, when does life begin? So I replied, it's not opinion, it's biology. You know, if somebody said, in your opinion, is it lighter during the day or at night? In my opinion? What do you mean in my opinion? What are you, a porcupine? What do you mean in my opinion, is it lighter during the day or at night? So the question, and really it's very demeaning, right? You have to be stupid not to recognize that it's insulting. And it's also insulting of the person asking the question. In your opinion, when does life begin? I think it begins at about age 34. That's about when life begins. Certainly not for teenagers. They're morons. So let's say 34. There's my opinion. So in your opinion, when does life begin? It's not opinion, HS. It's biology. At fertilization, also long referred to as conception, when the 23 chromosomes of the father combine with the 23 chromosomes of the mother, and there is a new living human being. By the way, to lie to women, pharmaceutical companies worked with the abortion industry to redefine conception to mean implantation. Now, those of you in the audience, I imagine most of you know what that means. The baby is conceived in the fallopian tube. And over a number of days, the baby is growing, letting out a cry to the mother, a pheromone from one individual organism to another, saying, Mom, I'm here and I'm really hungry. Get ready to feed me. And that baby now goes through cell division, 2 cells, 4 cells, over a period of a few days, travels the length of the fallopian tube and enters into the uterus, and then, in order to survive, needs to embed on the uterine wall. So I point out to HS that the abortion industry has redefined conception to mean implantation, when that zygote embeds, it implants into the uterus wall. So they redefined conception to mean implantation so that they could refer to mechanical or chemical abortifacients like the IUD, intrauterine device, or the morning after pill as contraception. You get it? They didn't want to call them abortifacients. They wanted to say they prevent conception. So in order to do that, they redefined conception to mean implantation. So they refer to these abortifacients as contraception by redefining that word instead of what they are, abortifacients. The IUD works by killing the tiniest children after they are conceived. The manufacturer says of the morning after pill that it has 2 mechanisms. It might prevent fertilization, but if it doesn't, then like the IUD, it's made the uterine wall inhospitable and causes a spontaneous abortion so that the mother flushes her very young baby down the toilet. And then also HS, of course, human beings, he asked, when does life begin? Also, of course, HS, human beings don't reproduce pigeons or pigs, but human offspring, children. The unborn baby is not a part of the mom. Half the time he's a boy with a Y chromosome, and the baby has his or her own DNA, appendages, brain, etc. If the baby is a part of the mother's body, then every college-level anatomy textbook that omits the baby as part of the mother would be incomplete. The body in her body is not her body. Question number 4. If a life begins at the fetus stage, What kind of question is that? That's like saying if life begins when the infant becomes a toddler. If life begins at the toddler stage. So question number, see what you have to put up with. Well, we all have to put up with this, right? We all have relatives, friends, enemies, neighbors, coworkers who are child killers. Question four here, if a life begins at the fetus stage, then abortion would be considered as murder. What kind of punishment do you believe women who get abortion should receive? Life for life. So I answered life for life. And then I added other information, but that was my complete answer to that question. If you notice, other than the first question, this is a good example of how to conduct a biased interview, right? How do you conduct a biased interview? And bias being a loyalty, like for one's team, or a false belief that one may draw unreliable conclusions from. So bias, this is a perfect example of a biased interview. So what should the punishment be if abortion is murder? Then my answer is life for life. And then new paragraph. Also, life doesn't begin at the fetus stage, HS. A molecular biology course on reproduction can easily correct that notion. Life begins at the single cell stage. See this webpage, AmericanRTL.org/beginning. If you haven't read that, it's a short article. It has a video of the flash of light, the zinc flash, at the moment of fertilization, at the moment of conception. What a short article that is. Really great. See AmericanRTL.org/beginning. At that single cell, there are already either two X chromosomes or an X and a Y chromosome. And then I give a parenthesis. Political correctness makes even that most basic biology, male and female, incomprehensible to many who would rather be lied to and confused. And then I continue, if you want to get to the science and bypass the lies and political correctness, get a good textbook on the anatomy of a horse. You'll see that conception is the beginning of the horse's life. If abortionists were horses, they'd set about rewriting horse anatomy books. Question number five, what is your opinion on cases of rape and incest? Or if carrying the pregnancy puts the mother's life at stake? So I respond, HS, I had the honor of writing the article at AmericanRTL.org/incest. Abortion for incest is cruel. Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics cover up the crime of incest and typically send the victim back home to her rapist. Even worse, they often send her home with her rapist, the same criminal who brought her to the clinic. Abortion for incest, and then there's a bulleted list, just four bullets. Abortion for incest emboldens a criminal to rape his young relative. Abortion for incest helps him escape being caught, tempts him to repeat his crime, and is not compassionate because it kills a baby and increases the woman's suffering. So HS, see that link for the similar reasons why abortion for rape is cruel. Finally, if you Google life of the mother, you know here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're obsessed, right, by Google rankings. So I say, HS, if you Google the four words, life of the mother, of the 2 billion results, that's billion with a B. And by the way, if you search on your phone, Google their interface, they don't show you how many web pages they think are relevant to your search results. That's only when you search from a desktop computer. There's more space, right, on the display. So they have room to say, here are the first 10 results out of 13 million. Or if you Google life of the mother, here are the first 10 results out of 2 billion. 2 billion. Wow. Google ranks the article we wrote on the first page of the top 10 results at AmericanRTL.org/life. And by the way, Colorado Right to Life is a sister organization of American Right to Life. That popular article begins, "An exception means a child intentionally killed. A physician should never postpone his efforts to save the mother in order to take time out to kill the child. If a doctor can only save the mother and not the child also, that is a tragedy, but it is not an intentional killing. Unintentional, unavoidable, and accidental death is not the same as intentional killing. The effort to abolish abortion, like with the personhood amendment, provides for no exceptions. But what if a pregnancy threatens the life of the mother? The doctor's goal should be to save mom and the baby if possible. The goal should never be to kill the mother to save the baby, nor to kill the child to save the mother." And there's an ellipsis there, dot, 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 to go to the rest of the article. Question number 6 from HS at Baylor University. Should we, and he's writing as a member of a Christian university when he says we, right? We Christians. Should we, who are so far detached from the situation, yeah, like we Christians, we don't know anything about women getting pregnant. We're very detached from that situation. Christian women who get pregnant, they're very detached from the situation. Question number 6. Should we, who are so far detached from the situation, have a say in another woman's choice of getting an abortion? So I respond, all I did was reword the question. That's it. I responded, should we, who are so far detached from Germans killing Jews or racists lynching blacks, have a say in the matter? And then finally, question 7, as a Christian, we are supposed to value all life forms and God's creations. Yeah, like the E. coli, Staph bacteria, right? That gives you what? Food poisoning, diarrhea, pneumonia, urinary tract infections. Yeah, we need to celebrate all forms of life. Do you notice the absurdity that's built into so many questions? We're supposed to value all life forms. Yeah, like black mold. You know, if that appears behind your kitchen sink, please make sure to feed it. So the question goes on. All life forms are God's creation. However, why are we so focused on the unborn fetus and not the living and breathing lives here today who are suffering? This question is inane. 1,000 or more hospitals in the U.S. have been established in the name of Christ by anti-abortion Christians. If your parents have taught you well, you will apologize for asking such a presumptuous and rude question. If I had read this question first, HS, I wouldn't have wasted the time answering your other questions. Bob Enyart, spokesman, Colorado Right to Life. 1-888-888-CRTL. By the way, we've got 2 billboards coming out this month, 2. One near downtown Denver, incredibly busy intersection, and the other outside of the metropolitan area. Hey, and if you want to help, feel free to donate. God bless you guys.